the invitation to give a talk. Today I'm talking about the utilization of actives to improve production, yield, and quality by overcoming abiotic stresses in agronomic, vegetable, turf, ornamental, and forestry production. As you read the press, it's been identified that the world food shortage is upon us, and that by year 2050, we're going to have to double production. And this is a challenge not only to us here in the U.S., but also a challenge to the people around the world, that improvements in yields are going to have to happen as far as food sources, and that in order to get there, there has got to be action taken to provide these yield increases. It's also been identified over the last 5 to 8 years that the advances that have been made over the last 5 to 8 years has been insufficient to keep up as far as a doubling process of food production by year 2050. I think the increases that have been shown over the last 5 years are actually at about a 2% increase. And in order to double, we're going to need a higher rate of increase in food production than that will provide. One of the things that has been identified is that the abiotic stresses are resulting in tremendous causes for not being able to achieve the increases, and therefore the estimates attributed to abiotic stress on yield are the fact that the yield potential of crops are not being reached. They're saying that 50% of that reduction impossible to reach is the fact of the abiotic stress. So let's identify exactly what we're talking about as far as abiotic stresses. The discussions thus far have mentioned many of these areas of causes for loss in yield potential. What I would like to do is look at it in more detail as to the external factors that are involved. As you can see, diseases, moisture, temperature, oxygen, salinity, and the beneficial biologicals are definitely limiting factors there. And you can see how each of these factors attribute to loss in production as they affect not only germination, but the emergence, stand, and then the quality of production that is produced. But first you have to have good seed. And seed are very important in that there are also a lot of factors involved in the ability of a seed to produce the genetic potential as far as yield potential. As you can see, many of these areas here definitely affect the quality of the seed overall. And each of these factors can definitely affect the type of germination, the plantability, type of germination, emergence, stand, and again, the harvest involved. So looking at the seed and the external factors, there have got to be technologies available to try to overcome some of these problem areas. We're looking at cleaning, upgrading, priming, coating, and of course the actives that I would like to spend more time talking about. But as you can see, each of these processes that are involved in providing good seed also can affect many of the areas of the factors involved in the abiotic stresses that are put on the crop. Not only here, but also the external factors there. As we prime, as Hank has identified, and coat seed, we can overcome a lot of those external factors that affect the production of the crop. What I'd like to do is go through these right quickly. I will mention priming, but I'm going to come from a different approach than Hank did. So upgrading, there's a lot of processes available in upgrading seed that will allow that seed to hopefully reach the genetic yield potential of that crop. We can mechanically upgrade it. We can liquid density separate it according to the weight of the seed or the maturity of the seed. We can identify it by its chlorophyll, and also the latest technology is the X-ray upgrading. In X-rating the seed, we are able to separate those seed that are not that are immature versus the full seed. We have to use priming to do that, Hank. We have to get the embryos imbibed. And this is lettuce seed. On the left is a seed that is not primed versus one that is primed, where you can identify the exact structure of a normal seedling within the seed coat. Incotech developed this technology. It took 13 years to develop the technology at about 5 million euro cost to develop the technology. Now we're using this 24/7 on rootstock tomatoes in the Netherlands. We have three machines set up, and it's an amazing process. We can separate about 6 to 7 kilos per 24-hour period on the three machines. But each seed is worth €1, so they're very expensive seed. These seeds sell for about $100,000 a pound, so very valuable. Seed priming, as Hank indicated, it's a process whereby we can let the seed perform at a normal rate of performance under abnormal conditions. If we look, as Hank pointed out, the performance of the seed according to the temperature regimes is improved tremendously, and this makes it possible to plant lettuce from the Salinas Valley in the Yuma Valley. When you go from cold to hot, it allows for full germination. The priming process can also be used to sterilize seed. You can include in that priming process certain compounds that will actually disinfect the seed from the inside. And this is very important, in that it is a very effective means of using a priming process to carry an active into the seed that will actually disinfect that seed. We have a new process that we have developed in the Netherlands. Actually, it was a technology that was acquired from a company in Sweden. We call it ThermoSeed. This is a process where we disinfect seed via steam cleaning, if I'm going to use that word. It's a steam process. You use high humid conditions and temperature to actually disinfect the seed rather than chemical. In Sweden, they banned the use of seed treatment, chemical seed treatments, and therefore they had to look at alternative means to carry out the disinfection process. The beautiful part about the technology that we have here is not only does it disinfect the seed, but in certain seed types, it will tend to prime the seed. So it's a priming process within itself, particularly in cereal crops. As Hank indicated, the coating process of seed is very important. There are a number of reasons why we coat seed. This indicates the differences that we can obtain in the different type of coatings. We can go from a very, very low percent additive to, as Hank indicated, 100 times seed weight of that seed. And what this does, it not only provides seed that will be where you can plant those seed more uniformly, but you can handle those seed, and we actually have technology at Incotech where we can have a multi-seed pellet, where we can put 3 to 4 seed in a pellet, and therefore you've got more than one seed per pellet that will help bring particularly weak seed or small seed out of the ground in a clump rather than one seed. Film coating, the fine coating we use to stick actives. This is used primarily in the agronomic cropping area, corn, soybeans, grain sorghum, a number of crops are film coated with a polymer coating, and this is to serve several different functions. One is dust control, and this is a very critical issue now, particularly with some of the nicotinoid chemistries that are being placed on seed that will kill bees real bad. And if you don't control the dust coming from the seed, that dust can get in the air, and they in Europe had some pretty tremendous bee kills because of that. So dust control is becoming more of a consideration, particularly when you're applying insecticides to seed. Of course, the human safety, improved seed to seed distribution. The use of these type of film coats allows you to better distribute the active ingredient on a seed-to-seed basis rather than in a bulk type basis, so that you get uniform application or targeted theoretical application on a seed-to-seed basis. Remember, the seed is a plant. You want to apply so much chemistry per plant. And so this functions to do that very well. Control release, we can actually, in those coatings, design coatings that will control the release of the active ingredient to the seed. And this is very important with some type of chemistries. Encrustments, again, Hank pointed this out to improve the plantability. And again, from my standpoint, these act as increasing the surface area of the seed, and I call that seed space. Therefore, we're able to use carriers to carry active ingredients. Incotec is providing to the industry over 80 different type of polymer systems. There's no one thing as one universal coating. Each seed type requires different type of coatings. And this happens to relate to the fact that once the product is applied to the seed, then the seed have to be conveyed, they have to be bagged, and certain coatings react differently with certain seed types. So you can't have a coating for soybeans that can be used on corn. It has to be somewhat modified because of the seed coat itself, as well as the equipment that is used to apply and bag the seed. Now, actives, as you can see, actives relate to a number of things. Plant protection products, and I won't go into a lot of detail. I think the next speakers will discuss these in more detail. You have fungicides, insecticides, plant growth regulators. You have different type of known actives that are sold not only as seed applied products, but also as foliar and infura materials. The beautiful part about the seed application is, again, the technology of the application itself has improved to the point over the last 15 years that you can get very precise application on a seed-to-seed basis. So the rotary coaters, a number of different, the side vent applicators, you can identify and lock in the rate that will go specifically on one seed, which is very important. Now, this does two or three things in that you have the right application per seed. A lot of the compounds that are applied may have some, the seed may have some sensitivity to that particular active, and therefore by controlling the application very, very critically, you can minimize or eliminate any potential phytotoxic effect of the chemistry that's being used. Biologicals, there's more and more biologicals that are being used as we go into the area of biological seed treatments. These are bacteria as well as fungal, like the mycorrhizae that you indicated. There are many different types of biologicals. Biologicals are nothing new to the industry. The rhizobia have been used on leguminosae crops for many, many years. The benefit there is that they bring nitrogen to the plant available. But what we're finding is that there are different types of biologicals now that become symbiotic with the plant system. They might not directly have a bacterial or a disease control capability, but they produce different types of actives that will actually impact the metabolism of the plant. So it's an area that's being charted as we speak today. There are a lot of biological materials that are in the wings waiting to be delivered. One product that is being used is called Kodiak, and this is a Bacillus subtilis. And this product is a bacteria that you apply to crops like cotton and soybeans and a number of crops. This particular one is an antibiotic producer. So actually, it colonizes the root system. And as it grows, it produces antibiotics that are very active against Rhizoctonia and Fusarium. But there are a lot of biological materials that are not antibiotic type producers, but they do activate the plant. They elicit different activities within the plant system to initiate their own defense mechanisms, so they have wide utility. Probably the most exciting area that I'm really excited about is the new abiotic. What do you do? Page down? Are the abiotic stress protectors. And these are combinations of actives. They may include the biological materials, but these are natural or synthetic. These are gene or microorganism activators or elicitors, and they may be even plant extracts that are being developed. We were talking about the placement of actives in coatings, and this is very critical in that with the coating processes that are available, we can actually place within the coating specifically where the active needs to go. If the material is somewhat indicating that it might have sensitivity to a species, and some of these products, the gauchos and the imidachlorprids and different products have different sensitivity levels to different types of crops. Brassica being very sensitive to imidachlorprid, whereas lettuce, we've been able to space the active ingredient away from the seed and therefore minimize or eliminate any phytotoxic activity. But in the coating process, we can do this. We can identify exactly where we place the material and the amount to be placed in the seed coat. Now, the new class of stimulants and PGR active materials, these are being developed in conjunction with the genetic traits that are being developed. The development of the genetics is very important as far as to the tolerances that are within those type of crops, the ability to use what's there and add to it is the important thing. So what we are looking at is taking stimulants to overcome many of the abiotic stresses that are presently affecting the genetic traits that are being presented by the Monsantos and the different companies. And of course, the goal is to have maximum yield potential exhibited by the crops that these are being placed on. The modes of action of these newfound actives vary. They activate plant hormone production and the responses and activation of microorganisms. And there's some type products that can be placed on seed now that will actually activate the mycorrhizae. There's a product, PHC has a product called Myconate. And actually when placed on the seed, it acts as a magnet. It draws the mycorrhizae to it. So many of these type of products are not what you would call called pesticidal active products, but they have modes of action that will actually be symbiotic in bringing, hopefully, good symbiotic organisms to the plant systems. In addition to that, these type of products also encourage auxin, GA, ethylene, ABA, enhanced root growth, flowering, and less senescence. They delay senescence of the final crop, so you get longer growing periods under stress, as well as they can activate, as I indicated, the mycorrhizae. These other types of products also are being shown to enhance ion binding or movement, increase the uptake of nutrients for the plant, make them more available, zinc, iron, manganese, calcium. And then the last one is the enhanced stress tolerance and elicitation of the activation of the defense mechanisms within in the plant system itself, the genes. They activate defense gene mechanisms. They help deliver DNA information or sequences to the mRNA for proper protein development. And as we saw this morning, there are a lot of different proteins that are activated that can do very beneficial things to the plant system. Here are some of the benefits that have been illustrated with these type of products. Improves germination, enhances root and root hair growth, increases nutrient uptake and mobility, mitigates abiotic stresses, promotes earliness in plant health, increases yield, improves crop quality, increases chlorophyll density, increases nodulation, increases systemic mode of action of many of these chemistries that we put on seed, as well as infura or foliar. It increases the uptake of those type of products, and they are very consistent in their performance. Just to give some illustrations, this is soybeans, untreated on your left, the treated on the right. As you can see, same age plants, you have better root development and much healthier plant as far as vigor and growth. Same thing is true on corn. And these appear to work across most cropping areas. So it's very exciting in that they're not crop specific. Now, in some genetics, it's been shown that the genetics themselves can have a different reaction. So the benefits on one genetic line might be less than it would be on another. Now, this is hard to tell. This was taken at the Ag Center out of Memphis. This is cotton growing. This is the untreated. And as you can see, on the right-hand side, that is the treated. So these products are very, very beneficial in stand establishment, early vigor, nutrient uptake. All of the things that I just indicated as the benefits are demonstrated in these slides. Consistency and yield. This was one product that was tested from 2006 to 2009. I think there were 40 trials, 40 individual trial locations. As you can see, the positive effects on yield way outnumber, as far as the biological material, the inconsistency that you normally would expect with the biological material. So these new types of products are showing very, very good benefit and consistent benefit to crops. So I'm very excited about where we are. There will be a lot of technologies that will be introduced. There are a number of technologies that have already been introduced in certain cropping areas and certain crops. So again, the arsenal is filling up. There are a number of these products waiting in the wings. Companies like Valent hopefully will supply some of these new technologies that can be utilized for this type of work. So in conclusion, the introduction of new seed applied enhancements will enable the world to keep up with a challenge to double food production by year 2050. And hopefully we can reach the genetic yield potential of all these crops as we go through. Just one word about Incotec. Incotec stands for Consistent Products, has the widest technology platform in the field of seed enhancements, spending 8% of the research dollars in seed enhancement research. And last year we won in the Netherlands. They give an annual award to all the industries within the country out of 10,000 companies that were eligible for this award. Incotec won the 2009 award for being the most innovative company in the Netherlands, so it's quite an honor. And I want to thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. We have time for a few questions. Shouldn't sit down quite yet.
Okay. Any questions?
I have a question. Do you use a control release mechanisms in your pelleting to release certain actives and growth promoters?
You can. Now, to say we do it consistently, no.
But you have the capability.
You can do that, yes.
I got another question. In this seed enhancement business, which I'm not completely familiar with, how much custom work, like for growers, do you do as opposed to production-level work for companies?
Incotec, I think, as well as...
This really goes for Hank, too.
Yeah, if I could, would you like to answer the question?
Well, from Incotec's standpoint, we primarily deal with breeder producers and not growers themselves. But we will provide growers, the service if they request it. Now, in the vegetable area, where most of our vegetable and ornamental, we deal with the dealers, so it's not necessarily breeder producer. It might be the dealer that's interfacing with the grower, and the grower requests that the dealer have the seed. So you ask a kind of a question that could go either way, but dealing directly with growers, we unless they are
a gigantic grower.
Unless they're a big
I don't
grower
know how that works in the vegetables.
Now in carrots there's two, Boathouse and so. But thank you.
Well, I would just like to back up what Kyle said. Incotec and Seed Dynamics are, in the old days, they called us custom seed treaters. We didn't own any seed. We don't buy any seed. We don't sell any seed. We just sell the treatments. And Incotec and Incotec and Seed Dynamics offer these treatments to producers and dealers in both the Yuma Valley and here in the coastal valleys of California. Incotec has a greater worldwide application than Seed Dynamics does, because Incotec has got factories in Brazil and in Europe, where Seed Dynamics, we're more or less concentrated here in the Southwest. The one big push in the industry is that these seed companies and these big monolithic biotechnology companies like Monsanto, for instance, and maybe even Syngenta or other companies, they'd like to kind of push us out of the business and kind of take away the middleman between the grower and themselves, because these seed producers have to come to us if they want these certain types of products on the seed. So not only do Kyle and I have to compete against each other, but now we have to compete against a slew of these mega companies as well.
We're somewhat different than we are across all crops. We're in on every continent except Antarctica. We got factories in all of these locations. We're well into the agronomic area, so we're servicing corn, soybean people, whereas that kind of deviates a little bit from what Hank and his group do. So.
Okay, if there's no more questions.
Back in the back. We have some organic treatments, yes. And some of the new products that I talked about definitely would fit into the organic area. The ThermoSeed disinfecting process that we have, that is where it's really going to shine because it is organic in nature, in grain production. There was a question back here.
Okay, well, thanks again.
All right.